It's episode 226 of BootlaNetwork.com, the podcast. Nah, we haven't rebranded yet. Still working on it. Bootla, B-U-L-A, network.com. Bootla's Fiji term. It means both hello and goodbye. Analogous to aloha in Hawaiian. Fell in love with the word about 35 years ago, so it seemed fitting to name the company. After the term, today, why there's always room for another weight loss book. Well, and anything else you can think of. The work of BootlaNetwork.com is primarily executive coaching and business consulting. Kind of the trifecta of business building. Getting new customers, serving existing customers better, not going crazy in the process. Okay, the last one really is the executive coaching component of it, but anyway, that's what we do. And what about you? I'd be curious to hear. Send me an email, results@BootlaNetwork.com. I'd like to hear your story. All right, let's get into it. It's estimated that the weight loss industry in America, that's just the United States, for my friends in Europe, the UK, Australia, in just the United States, it exceeds $60 billion. Yeah, that's with a B. $60 billion a year. I mean, it's a ginormous market. In fact, it's a marketer's dream. You know, it's a little bit like the old gold rush days of the Wild West in America. It's also very crowded. I mean, anywhere that there is a large appetite for something, there's going to be a big, big crowd that gathers. Big opportunities drive big attention. Competition is fierce in the weight loss game, just as it is in, well, any lucrative market. And that doesn't mean that you can't succeed. Now, I'm not trying to talk you into going into the weight loss game. I'm just trying to make a point. So stay with me. It just means that if it's a crowded market, it's going to be tougher and you're going to have to work for it. But you know what? You're going to have to work for it anyway. Wait a minute. What? Work for it? I don't want to work for it. I just want it to drop in my lap. Yeah, okay, doesn't work that way. Folks with 100 pounds to lose, I would suspect they want to get slim. They want to get slim right now. Well, they don't want to take a year to do it. You've seen that show, Extreme Weight Loss. I'm fascinated by, he takes on a person or two and takes them through an entire year. And of course, initially, I mean, these are people that need to lose, well, they need to lose half of their body weight. And they didn't get that way overnight, obviously. And so he takes them, he gets their blood work and takes them to a clinic, gets all the, you know, all the health things checked out. And then the first day he really taxes them, primarily not just for the physical part of it, but for the mental part. To prepare them for the road ahead, the fact that they are really going to have to put in the work. Fat people have two basic options: bariatric surgery or change. Well, okay, bariatric surgery requires some change, but I don't know if you've noticed, but advertising for bariatric surgery continues to increase, driving, I assume, higher demand. This year, approximately 160,000 surgeries will be performed. And they're effective in helping patients lose weight and keep the weight off. But, you know, I have to wonder how much of the growth in the surgeries is because patients view it as an easier way to go. I know of people who have had that surgery. They've lost a lot of weight only to gain it back and more over time because they didn't adjust their lifestyle. And it resulted in them going right back to a life that led them toward obesity to begin with, proving once more just how difficult it is to change. Bariatric surgery or change? Give me the surgery. There are at least four reasons why more and more books are published on weight loss. Number one, the market is enormous and growing. pun intended. Trial and error, number two, with lots and lots of failure, characterizes most of the market. I mean, talk with anybody and they will tell you, oh, they've tried lots of diets and so far nothing's worked. And so they continue to search. And that's number three. People search for something that resonates and works for them. And in the weight loss game, like so many other games, people continue to search until they do find something that resonates and works for them. Number four, what one person embraces, another person abhors. Style and substance vary along with their appeal. Now, these four things aren't exclusive to weight loss. The market is enormous and growing. Trial and error with lots of failure characterizes most of the market. People search for something that resonates and works for them. And four, what one person embraces, another abhors, because style and substance are wildly varied. So I think these things really have a much broader application. The market is enormous and growing. The first reason isn't universal. Not all markets are so large as the weight loss market. Some are, most are not. And not all markets are growing. Some markets are stagnant. In fact, some are declining. Now, without getting hung up in market size or an opportunity, can we agree that in every market, there are winners and losers? In every market, there are people who are succeeding. And in every market, there are people who are losing. I mean, somewhere in a down market, somebody is hitting a home run. And other people are losing. Now, I'm not going to get into all the reasons why that happens. That's probably good fodder for another episode. But we often see somebody doing exceptionally well, even when times are tough. And in other times, we see times are great, times are good, and we see people struggling and going out of business. A market is big enough for somebody to succeed. My argument is that somebody might as well be you. Now, the number of winners in a market depends on the size of the market. In the weight loss game, well, there's room for lots of winners because it's such an enormous market. But that also necessarily means that there's room for tons and tons of losers. Whatever market you're serving, let's assume that it's big enough for you to succeed. It's big enough for somebody to succeed, and that somebody may as well be you. Now, we won't assume that it's growing. There's still room for opportunity, though, because there's always a portion of the market that you don't yet own. That's the part that your competitors are getting. That's market growth that you can claim if you can find a way to get it away from your competitor. And so the bottom line is there is a market to serve. Maybe it's time to ask the huge question, do you know what market you're serving? A ton of business problems stem from the fact that so many people do not know what market they're serving. And it's okay if that changes. It's okay if that morphs over time. But you still have to know whom you're serving. Trial and error with lots of failure characterizes most of the weight loss market. Now, people trying to lose weight, they'll tell you, I've tried every diet under the sun. So far, nothing's worked. Or they may say, you know, I tried dozens of programs and none of them worked until I found this one. And then they may go on and brag about some off the wall, crazy thing that you're like, how in the world did that work? You know, people are in the throes of trying and failing, trying and failing. That's part and parcel of the weight loss industry. And sometimes you run across somebody and they have finally tried something that works for them. And those stories fuel other people to try that too. And so the word of mouth just spreads like crazy. The weight loss crowd aren't necessarily repeat buyers, but many of them are chronic buyers. That is, they may buy more than two, three, four weight loss products, whether that's a book, whether that's a diet, whether that's an exercise program. And they may buy that many every single year until they find something that works. And until they find something that works, they're not anybody's customer for life, because so far they've not been able to hang their hat on something that works. And so people do search for something that resonates. They search for something that works for them. Now, this is true for most markets. We all want something that we can relate to. We all want something that is represented by somebody that we can relate to. And we want something that works well enough. Yeah, it depends on what it is. I mean, come on. If we're building airplanes, we have to have exacting requirements. In fact, our vendor is going to have to be FAA certified, and the tolerances on the parts have to be precise. But if we're building custom hot rods, we can be a lot more flexible. So one solution won't work for everybody in the weight loss industry. I'll go you better. One solution won't necessarily work for everybody in hardly any industry. Now, to be fair, except for those people who suffer some physical ailment that might prevent it, good diet habits and regular exercise, that'll work for almost everybody. Wait, but that's hard. And it doesn't resonate with everybody. I mean, if it did, then we could ditch this whole weight loss industry and we could find some other meaningful use for that $60 billion a year. The truth is, people are looking for an easier solution, a magic solution, a secret formula. There's got to be, somebody has the secret. I mean, these people that walk around slim and trim and athletic, they know something that we don't know. No, they're doing something very different than what you're doing if you're fat. Now, clever marketers are constantly offering just that. They're offering the secret formula, the magic solution. And most people are going to be disappointed with the results, but a small percentage are going to find success in just about any program. And it's those stories, it's those outlier stories of success that fuel the desire of other people to give it a go, give it a try. It is a numbers game. You know, we could likely devise, in fact, I can almost guarantee you that we could do this. We could likely devise the wildest weight loss scheme possible. And if we could get enough people to try it, I guarantee somebody would succeed at it. I was reading about a researcher. He went on a diet of convenience store food, and it included things like Oreo cookies and Twinkies. He counted calories, but he did not exceed 1,800 calories a day. And in 2 months, he lost 27 pounds and lowered his bad cholesterol by 20%. You heard it right. The average guy consumes about 800 more calories a day, though. This guy was consuming 1,800. The average guy is going to consume about 2,600. And so the calorie restriction, that's what did the trick. It didn't matter that they were Oreo cookies and Twinkies or broccoli. Calories were calories. Now, nutritionally, they're not. And it doesn't address the wisdom of that diet, by the way, over the long haul, because nutritionally, it's clearly a very suspect diet. I mean, you're not going to probably do your body much good living on Oreos and Twinkies. But imagine the popularity of that. Imagine the popularity of an Oreo cookie diet. Imagine the popularity of a Twinkie diet that touts losing 26 pounds in 60 days. If somebody would follow the calorie restriction part of that, they're going to lose weight. The problem is most people wouldn't do that. Most people, they're going to eat an entire sleeve of Oreo cookies, and they're going to eat tons and tons of Twinkies, and they're going to pronounce the diets a failure. And then they're going to keep on their search for something else that will work for them. But if we can find some people that will stick to the calorie restriction part of it, guess what? They will have success, even though they're eating Oreos and Twinkies, and they will tell everybody they know. That's word of mouth marketing. What one person embraces, another abhors. Style and substance vary along with their appeal. Now, if you didn't like Oreos or Twinkies, well, that diet's not going to appeal to you. Well, what is wrong with you? I mean, what human on the planet doesn't like Oreos and Twinkies? But there are going to be people who aren't going to like Oreos and Twinkies, and so they're not going to be attracted to our new diet. Meat and cheese lovers fell in love with the Atkins diet. Some other people fell in love with a slow carb diet. Some people have embraced the Mediterranean diet. And it's all because people have different tastes, different desires. But it's not all about substance, because personalities and presentation, that matter too. The weight loss industry is notorious for using celebrity endorsements in order to appeal to people who might like those celebrities. If you like Marie Osmond, you're likely going to be attracted to her program. If you like Terry Bradshaw or Dan Marino, you're going to be drawn to the program that they promote. Now, none of these are weight loss experts. These are celebrities. But if a weight loss company can hit you with a personality that you really like, that you really relate to, you're going to pay closer attention, and you're going to assume that that may be just the program for me. Doesn't mean it'll work for you. It just means that you're going to be more likely to invest in buying it. Now, there's also a bonus reason. And it's a bonus reason because I didn't mention it at first because I wanted to save it kind of for last. And that's timing. Timing. Sometimes we're just not ready to hear it. Fat folks aren't always in the mood or in the frame of mind to make a change. And sometimes fat folks, they're not even willing to listen to any consideration that it might be in their best interest to drop a few pounds. A guy's eating 4,000 calories a day in multiple fast food meals every day, and he supersizes all of them. And one early afternoon, chest pains hit. He's struggling to catch his breath. He breaks out in a sweat, and a coworker rushes him to the ER just in time. Yeah, he suffered a heart attack. Wasn't fatal. Not this time. And so the cardiologist warns him that if he doesn't lose 125 pounds, he won't likely live long enough to celebrate 5 more birthdays. Well, suddenly he's got a little different outlook on those 4,000 calories he was eating every day. Will he change? That's the question. Maybe. Maybe not. But now he's got a different perspective from which he can now make a decision. Timing happens in every market. So this morning, a woman drove to work without any concerns for the tires on her car. Her tires were fine. This afternoon, on her way home, she has a blowout. Now she is in the market for tires. Our circumstances change, and along with it, our needs and our wants, and yes, our desires. Hit that woman with a tire ad in the morning, and she didn't even notice it. You could have played it a dozen times. It didn't resonate with her. She didn't need tires. But now, after she's had a blowout expose her to just one ad, she's hanging close attention to this ad. The weight loss book that was a big hit last year may have had no impact on the fat man last year. He was fat. He was happy. But this year he is under strict oversight of a cardiologist who is dogging him to lose weight. And so now he's highly interested in what this new book has to say. So sometimes we're just not ready for the message. And as marketers, we don't always know when prospects are going to be receptive to our message. So we have to always be marketing. There's the rub. It's the reason why people will never stop writing weight loss books. And frankly, it's the reason why they shouldn't stop writing weight loss books. And it's also the reason why you should not stop in whatever it is you pursue. It's the reason why there's plenty of room for new disruptors in any market, no matter how competitive it might be. The future fat people are being born every day. It is a market with limitless demand. And we don't know. The truth is, if we're in that game, we don't know when some of those fat people are going to decide to try to lose weight. So keep writing. Keep producing programs. Keep selling stuff. The tire store doesn't know when your tires are going to wear out or when you'll suffer a blowout. The shoe retailer doesn't know when you're going to be in the market for a new pair of dress shoes. The executive coach, doesn't know when a prospect is going to be receptive to hiring a coach. Style over substance. It's the real decision-making difference. Sometimes. You can buy tires in lots of places. You can go to the discount clubs, you know, those warehouse stores. You can go online. You can go to the tire branded retail outlet. You can go to the tire specialty chain store. Now, most of these guys carry the name brands. Well, okay, the branded store is going to carry probably only their brand. Like you can go to a Goodyear store or a Firestone store, but you're going to have brand selection in all the others. And you may have it in those stores. I don't know. Most of them are going to have competitive prices because, well, you just have to go beyond your favorite brand and price. And you're still looking at a lot of choices because now you're probably considering proximity. I mean, come on, after all, you've got that stupid little donut spare that you're driving on. Well, you don't want to drive an hour away, not on that. So you want something close to home or close to work. A lot of factors to consider. So how do you decide? Well, if you're like me, you consider another convenience factor, and that is how easy is it to buy? Now, for me, I just have one option. In my community, there is a discount tire store. I've done business with these people for years and years and years. They're friendly, they're helpful, they're fast. They don't try to talk me into things. They don't push things. And they're always, in fact, trying to help me find the best tire for the budget that I've got. They're informative, they're helpful, and I trust them. In fact, the last time, my wife drives a Honda Accord, and the tires were just noisy as all get out. And it ended up where we needed a tire. Well, I was tired of listening to these noisy things. And frankly, I had bought them from a discount tire. We were out of town on our way to a wedding and we had a blowout. And so I needed to get a set of tires and made the decision probably too quickly. It was a discount tire store, but it wasn't the one that I always go to. And the tires were fine. But man, they were loud, noisy. So this time I go in and I tell the guy, I got to have a tire that's quieter. And he looks and he says, yeah, he said, the tires you got, they're good tires, but they are loud. And I said, boy, tell me. And I said, here's how much I want to spend. I don't want to spend any more. And if I could spend less, that'd be great. And he looked and he said, here's the one I'd get. It was some amount of money below my budget. And he said, these are quiet. You're going to love these tires. And you know what? He was right. But I already knew that because every time I've gone in there and I've been candid with what I wanted, they just took care of it. Style determines where I buy tires. Really? Tires? Yeah. Now, if style can determine where we buy boring things like tires, imagine the value in other things. Anything, any service, any product. The substance is important, but don't think that if you build a better mousetrap that your work is complete. I see so many people get this wrong, and frankly, I admit there are times that I get it wrong. We work so hard on the substance because we have bought into the notion that, well, we're all listening to the internet tell us the same, spew forth the same wisdom, or we perceive it to be wisdom. Content is king. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's a bunch of terrific information out there. I come across every week, I will come across some blog posts that are terrific. And I look at these websites and I know that crickets are chirping. No comments have been left. You know, they've got the little social icons that will show the number of shares. Zero. Zero all across the board. And I'm like, the first thing I'm thinking is, A, why do you have comments open? And B, why do you use a WordPress plugin that shows the number of shares when the shares, I mean, it's one thing if you're a really popular person, okay, then it's social proof. But for those of us that are nobodies, okay, we ain't got social proof. Then stop touting zeros. But you've done this too. You've come across some things and you've thought, man, that is terrific. That's a substantial blog post. It's great. It's informative. And I even like the style. Now, what you've got missing there is you've got visibility missing. And maybe it could be argued that the style just isn't getting the visibility. Maybe they're not promoting themselves enough. There's a ton of people that are too shy to do that. Hear, hear. I can relate. But if style can determine where we buy boring things like tires, and there's more to it than that, Discount Tire does a lot of advertising. They've got convenience stores, and they've built a brand. And the substance is important. I want good tires. But we can't get so wrapped up in just our substance. It's not about whoever can make the best mousetrap. Because you can make a mousetrap that's almost as good as theirs, if theirs is the best. And if you gain visibility in the market, and you become top of mind, you'll beat their brains in. You'll beat their brains in every time. For me, I could go buy the same brand of tire, whatever tire I bought, I could go buy that brand any number of places. And I could go buy it for the same price. I might could even go buy it cheaper. But when I go to Discount Tire, it's easy. I walk in, I give them my phone number, and yeah, I'm a past customer, so I'm in the computer. But even if I weren't, and they had to kind of build out the first page on their screen, okay, no big deal. It's quick. It's easy. And I tell them what I want. I tell them what I'm looking for. I tell them I don't want to spend. This is the maximum amount I want to spend out the door. So get me under that. And they'll do it every single time. Every single time. And by the way, if you have a problem, well, easy greasy. And if you buy Road Hazard like I do, even easier. Have good substance. Have a unique style. Get the word out. Get the word out, get the word out, get the word out, get the word out. Focus on your uniqueness. That'll help you get the word out. Be consistent. Be persistent. Man, that's tough. That's tough. Hey, I've been doing this. I've been fighting this. I've been yelling about this. I've been hawking this, and I've done it, and I've done it, and I've done it with limited success, maybe no success. Okay, well, be persistent. Be consistent. Tweak it a little bit. Try something else. Always be marketing. The SEO crowd, the search engine optimization crowd, says always be testing. Well, in business, we do that anyway. Successful businesses do it anyway. We're always marketing, and we're always testing things. We're always trying different things. The retail store that tried direct mail tries a different kind of direct mail. They try different copy on their direct mail. They try different time periods that they mail. They may try radio for a bit. They may try television. They may try print. They're throwing different things at the problem. I'm a big believer, if you can't measure it, okay, don't throw money at it. Throw money at the things that you can measure so that you can tell if you're succeeding or not. And so many traditional businesses, retailers included, live by that, whoever said that adage about advertising, that 50% of my advertising doesn't work. I just don't know which 50%. Okay, that's a bad business model. To throw $100 at something knowing that $50 is, you're just throwing it away. Okay, stop it. Always be marketing. Build a strong customer base by doing exceptional work. I can't stress this enough. This falls under the trifecta of business building that I hang my hat on: getting new customers, serving existing customers better. That's building a strong customer base. I mean, so many people are working at getting new customers, and then when they get a customer, they don't much care about them. They don't show any love to their existing customers. See, Discount Tire, they show love to existing customers. And you've got to do the same thing. I've long used that Sports Illustrated analogy, and trying to get new subscribers, they'll give away all kinds of stuff. They'll give away little footballs or phones or calculators or jerseys or t-shirts or hats or something to new subscribers. But if, oh, you've been subscribing for 10 years, you don't get anything. It's just a bad business model. You build a strong customer base by doing exceptional work and by ingratiating the present customers that you've got. to keep on buying from you. And by the way, to tell everybody they know. I love Jeffrey Gittimer's phrase, and that is, customers can say one of three things about you, something good, nothing, or something bad, and you get to choose. And he's spot on. We want to do business in such a way that people will say something good about us. And if they're going to say something good about us, then we got to give them something good to say about us. There's always room for another weight loss book, and there's also room for pretty much anything else that you can think of. So if you're a new entrepreneur or if you're a wannabe entrepreneur, don't let the market scare you. Now, yeah, be smart, but there's room for new winners in most everything. Many years ago, Jeff Bezos set out, headed west in a car with everything that he owned. Gonna sell books online. Yeah, well, at the time, we needed another bookseller like we needed a hole in the head. Oh, those other booksellers, they're all pretty much gone. And Amazon is clearly the 900-pound gorilla. I don't think 900-pound gorillas... Don't big gorillas weigh more than that? I don't know. 900 pounds, that's heavy. Amazon's heavy. In fact, I saw just today they're going to come out with a smartphone. Okay, well, how do we get from books to smartphones? I don't know. Look at how we got to everything. What don't you buy from Amazon? Hey, it's just living proof. There's always room for most anything that you can think of, if you can execute it well. And there's the rub. You got to take action. You got to do good work. You got to be different, and you got to keep on keeping on and show the market all the reasons why you're different, why you're better. Make it easy for people to buy from you. Hey, I'd like to make it easy for you to buy from me. Just go to the Hire Me page. If you go to bulanetwork.com/hire-me. Oh, better yet, just go to bulanetwork.com and you'll see a tab in the navigation. Tell you all about the cool stuff that I do and the offers that I make. If you are an executive, if you are a leader, leaders need coaches, you know. It's just, my coaching is very different. My coaching is very specialized, individualized for the person. I don't have a set program that, okay, I'm going to run everybody through the same gauntlet. I take a look at the problems and we tackle whatever the problems are specific to the situation that you're in. It's what I do. And if you're interested, hey, there it is. I would like for you to subscribe to the newsletter. I'd like to send you a free video, 15 Obstacles to Success or Greater Success. Just enter your email address in the upper right-hand yellow box at the website, bulanetwork.com, and I'll send that to you. In fact, I got some other bonuses that I'm going to send you. I got an audio and an ebook I'm going to send you as well, and you'll also get all the regular updates that come from me. My name is Randy Cantrell. City of origin is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. This is the Yellow Studio.